This time, Brother Todd Lassiter. Brother Todd has been on staff here for 22 years. And Brother Todd is being considered as co-pastor and become pastor of church. He'll teach this morning, preach this morning, tonight, and Wednesday night. Tonight at 6 o'clock, there'll be a question and answer session, and you'll want to be here for that. And then after he preaches Wednesday night, we'll go into a week of fasting and prayer. And then the following Wednesday night, December the 16th, we will have our official vote. So, Brother Lassiter, God bless you. You come and take over the class.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Is that a little bit loud? All right. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Find your place in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And I want to say again to our pastor and our deacons and pulpit committee, a special thanks for allowing the process to reach this point. And I do not take it lightly, nor do I take it for granted. All right, if you found your place in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, I want you to notice the verse here. The Scripture says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Now, I want you to notice this last phrase, because that's what I want to focus in on for our lesson this morning. He says that ye should follow His steps. Now, may I say to you this morning that the statement that Peter makes here that I want to focus on, he said that you should, which indicates that, and at least I believe this indicates to us that there is a necessity involved in what Peter's saying, because the blessed life of the Christian life is following Jesus Christ and following His example. Listen, many of us were saved later in life, and unfortunately we know what lies on the other side of the fence. And we realize what it means to follow the steps without Christ and to know what it is to live without God for way too many years of our life. And He says that we're to follow His example that Christ left us, that ye should follow His steps. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You would bless the time that we have together this morning, and I pray that You'd open our hearts and our eyes to what You have to say to us in this particular Scripture. We do ask that Your Holy Spirit would move from pew to pew and person to person, heart to heart this morning, and that when we leave this place that we might have a truth or a nugget of truth to take with us, Lord, that we might apply to our Christian life. Have Your way now, we pray this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold your finger right there, if you would, in 1 Peter 2, and turn to Proverbs chapter 16, if you would. Turn to Proverbs. Now, you're going to need your Bible, because we're going to turn to quite a bit of Scripture here this morning. Because Peter said that you should follow in His steps. Now, he did not say that all of us would or that we must. By the way, did you realize that if God took out of your life your free will to choose, He could not be God? You realize that He gave you and I a free choice? He does not force love. He does not force service. He does not force any of us to do anything. He simply shows us the steps, and He says, "You should follow My steps." And not everybody is going to. Now, I wish everybody would, don't you? But not everybody's going to, but everybody has a choice whether they want to choose the best life or if they want to choose a compromising life. Everybody has that choice. Now look, if you would, in Proverbs 16 and verse number 9. The Scripture says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." Now may I say to you this morning that Christ has set forth a pattern. He has given us the footprints, the steps to follow. We are given the Word of God. And you know, the amazing thing is that when He sets forth those steps, you realize He just simply commanded me and told me, this is what you should do, that we're to follow His steps. Now the thing about that, you know the scary thing about that, you know why some people don't want to follow his steps? Because they don't know where they lead. And sometimes that's a scary thing for us because we find foots, we're not sure exactly where they're going to lead, see? And since we're not sure where they're going to lead, we're afraid to follow those steps. You know, this past week we had a little bit of snow in this area and had a little bit of accumulation for about 15 minutes or so, if that was kind of the way it was at your place. But, you know, I saw people out in their front yards and they were getting making little snowballs. But I found out that there were some places where I'd seen people walk and I saw their footprints in the snow. Now, the thing about it is, when footprints are set that easily to follow, many of us are like, wow, you know what? I can follow those because they're very easily seen. But you know, in the Christian life, sometimes when we try to follow His steps, they're not always easily seen and clearly seen. Let me say a couple of things about this. First of all, steps take us on a long path. I love to hunt. I know how to track. And you know, when I find a footprint and I find a track, that is the beginning point. And if I'm going to track an animal or I'm going to track something, I've got to understand that I'm probably in for a long journey. I'm probably in for a long endeavoring and taxing tracking process. But you know what? If I want to get what I'm after and I want the benefits of the tracking and the steps, then I follow those steps. Now, steps take a long path. And may I say to you that the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And when you start beginning to track and you begin to follow Jesus Christ and His steps, you've got to understand it takes a lifetime. There will never be a time in your life or my life where I will ever arrive. I will always be tracking. I will always be following His steps. Now, may I say to you, number two, that not only do steps take us along on a long path, steps lead to and through many different locations. But you know, this past Wednesday, 25 years ago, I stepped out of a pew just about back there where Brother Hunt is sitting. I walked down this aisle right here and got born again right there. 25 years ago, December the 2nd, 1984, I decided that when I got here that I had lived 23 years following the wrong steps, following the wrong path. And I realized there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better path to follow. And that day when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I made a commitment that day. I'm going to follow in His steps. Now, did I know where they were going to lead? Absolutely not. Did I ever dream that they would lead to this spot? Absolutely not. But I just said, I'm going to follow His steps. You see, sometimes steps lead through many different locations. And I think most of you in life have found out that as you follow Jesus Christ, sometimes there's heartaches involved. Sometimes you find that there are trials involved in your life. But may I ask, when those steps lead to a trial, is that where you're going to stop following His steps? Just because they lead through the valley of the shadow of death, is that where you're going to stop? Are you going to stop just because as you look ahead, you think, man, those steps are leading into an area that I'm not sure I want to go? You see, if we're going to commit to follow His steps, sometimes it's going to lead through many different locations. Let me say to you, number three, steps sometimes require extra attention to locate. Have you ever been in a part of your life and you think, Lord, where are the steps? I can't. You know, after a while in tracking, and many times when I'm tracking an animal and stuff, sometimes they walk, Brother Carlos, and the tracks are so evident, and then all of a sudden they like disappear as they walk into the grass, and I've got to be able to pick this track up again somewhere later. You see, sometimes steps aren't always easy to locate. And you know when I find out that they seem to be the most difficult to locate? And that's when you go through heartaches and trials. You begin to look and say, Lord, where are the steps? Many of you probably on your wall at home have the little poem of the footprints. And you know, the thing about it is the gist of that little poem is that here's a Christian, he saw two footprints in the sand as he walked with Christ. Then when he needed him the most and when he faced the most difficult times in his life, then he only saw one set of footprints. And he kind of got a little bit irritated because he thought, that's when, Lord, I needed you most, that's when you left. He said, no, you've messed up. He says, that footprints that you saw in the sand weren't yours, they were mine. Because at that point's when I carried you. You see, you're just going to have to follow the footprints regardless. And sometimes they're not easy to locate. May I say next, sometimes steps require diligence to follow. I mean, you really have to be diligent to follow those steps. Sometimes the steps are clear, sometimes they're not clear. And then may I say to you, number five, before we move on, steps will lead you to the place of the one who made them. Those steps, listen, you say, oh, I want to know Christ. Follow in His steps. You see, I know the difference between a deer track and a bobcat track and a coyote track. I'm not going to follow coyote tracks, and I'm not going to follow bobcat tracks, but you know what? I'll follow deer tracks because I know those tracks are going to lead me to what I'm after. But may I say too, if I follow the coyote tracks, it's also going to lead me to what I'm not really after. And yet, isn't it amazing how so many of us in our Christian life, we look down and we see all kinds of prints in the sand, and we can't discern which prints are Jesus' prints, which steps are His steps. You know how you find that out? Listen, when you say, I can't discern what steps are Jesus' steps and what steps are the devil's steps, what you're saying is, you're not in this book. Because when you cannot discern the difference between the tracks, what you're saying is, I haven't been in the Word of God long enough and I haven't studied enough to be able to discern what the tracks are and where they're leading to. Now, turn back, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Let me read that again. And then you're going to need your Bible. We're going to pop back and forth here for the next few minutes and look at some things that we should be doing. But I want you to notice some here that Peter hit on in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Now notice the last phrase. He says that you should follow His steps. He said there's a necessity in following His steps because that's where the joy is. That's where the happiness is in your Christian life. Does anybody in here want to live a miserable Christian life till Jesus comes? I don't think so. I don't, and I don't think you do. Now, so you know what we got to do? We got to discern where the tracks are, where the steps are, and follow in His steps. Peter said, that's what you should do. Now, I'm not so stupid to think everybody's going to do it. But that's what we should do. Because it's necessary if you're going to experience the joy of the Christian life. But I want you to notice a couple of things that Peter hit on here real quick, and then we'll find some other scriptures here to talk about some things that we should do. Notice he says in verse 22, who did no sin, speaking of Christ. But notice this. This is something that we should do. He says, neither was there guile found in His mouth. You know, one of the things that we should do? What we should do is the Bible says that our speech should be seasoned with salt. Kindness. We should be, listen, when a brother or sister is in need, we should have words to speak to them that are edifying, that are comforting. Listen, when you go and read the text and the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we find the context there. He's talking about the second coming of Christ as we see that day approaching. You know what he tells us to do in the final verses of chapter 5? He gives us a list that long of what we're supposed to be practicing. And not a single thing in that list has anything to do with ripping people apart. Or stepping on a fallen brother or sister in Christ. Not one thing in that list. But you know what that list does consist of? It says comfort, edify, pray without ceasing. And it goes on giving thanks, and it gets a whole list of things. I'm just simply here to say to you this morning that here Peter points out that one of the things we should be doing, he said, neither was guile found in His mouth. Notice in verse 23, He says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. You know, we shouldn't be looking for opportunities. Not only should we not be looking for opportunities to sin, but we should not be looking for opportunities to get in somebody else's business. Let me say something to you. The preacher preached a message. I've never forgot it. He preached a message years and years ago, and I think the title of it was, Mind Your Own Business. And you know something? Can I say to you that I've got enough in my life to do, to take care of, to confess before God. I have a life here, 48 years of it, that I've got to keep intact and keep right with God. I ain't got time to divvy in everybody else's business. Now, I'm just saying to you that the Scripture says it, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not. But you know, when you follow his steps, it's going to lead you down a path that maybe that people might be critical of you. People might begin to say things about you that are unfavorable. But that's part of following his steps. Because as you follow his steps, you know what happens when you follow? You learn. You begin to learn things in life. And you begin to learn things about people. Maybe things that you didn't know. And I'm just here to say that the Scripture says that when he was reviled, he reviled not, and when he suffered, he threatened not. Notice what else it says. But, notice this, he committed himself that judgeth righteously. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Boy, would to God that we had the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ that when we revile, we revile not. And when we suffer, we threaten not. But we commit. That we're committed. Listen, folks, we live in a country today. And boy, we like to say, look at our country and the situation we're in. Somebody's got to do something. You know where it's going to start? With you and with me. Hey, folks, the problem's not the lost world. The problem's us. The problem is believers. Because we're uncommitted. What happens is our country's going down and we see the steps and it's following, and then we see the steps of Christ and we've got to decide, am I going to follow these or am I going to follow Christ? But then we have to decide, well, if I follow Christ, people are going to talk ugly to me. People are going to point me out and call me this and call me my... Listen, they may even call you a Christian or a fanatic. Or something off the wall and people don't like to be identified. Folks, let me tell you something. When I walked down that aisle 25 years ago, I'd been identified with the devil long enough. And I decided, you know what, there's got to be something better. I think I'm going to be identified with Jesus. And let me tell you something. 25 years, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I'm just here to tell you that Jesus said that he was committed. We need to be committed in our life. Do you know, Stephen, we're not going to turn there, but Stephen in Acts chapter 6 followed, I believe, the steps of Christ. You know where they led him? They led him to a stoning pit. But let me say something to you, that when he was in that stoning pit, and as he was beginning to be stoned, and as he was beginning to be reviled, and as he was beginning to be spoken evil of, listen, folks, I don't know about you, I've made some people mad in my life. But I've never made anybody mad enough to where they want to run and gnash on me with their teeth. I mean, that's how put out with Stephen they were. They were so mad. Now listen, I've seen people mad at me enough to where tears came out their eyes. They were so mad. But I've never made anybody mad where they wanted to come and bite me. But that's exactly where Stephen was. And may I say to you that though he was being falsely accused, that his only crime was giving the gospel, but there he stood, and as he looked toward heaven, Jesus Christ standing at the Father's right hand. And there Stephen committed himself as he was being stoned. He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't say, this is unfair. He didn't say, this is not right. He had done his job. He was committed even unto death. Now, with that said, I'm going to take just a few moments and take and look at some scriptures this morning about some things that we should be doing. So first of all, take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Now keep in mind, Peter said that we should follow in his steps, which means there's a necessity behind that word, that it's necessary that if you're going to get the fullness of the joy of Christ in the Christian life, this is what you should be doing. You should do this. Now look, if you would, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. You know, when I got saved, just like when you got saved, I didn't understand all about the Christian life, did you? I just understand, hey, when the altar worker told me and I prayed to receive Christ, he says, man, isn't that great? God saved you. I said, man, that's great. Now what? What am I supposed to do now? Right? Am I the only one that felt that way? I didn't know. All I knew was the Scripture wanted me to follow a different set of tracks now and a different set of steps. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. If you found your place there, follow with me. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, again, let me say to you that as a believer, we shouldn't be looking for opportunities to sin against God. As we mature and as we follow His steps, and if I'm following them closely enough, they should be leading me to the one who made the steps. Is that right? You see, when I first start tracking a deer, from the moment I start tracking him, every track I follow and every step I follow puts me closer to him. Is that right? And every step I follow for Christ should be drawing me closer to him. I should not. The Scripture says, I should not, verse 4. What verse did I just read? 6? Okay. We're going to look at 6 here in just a minute. But we'll look at, I tell you what, let's just look at 6 right now. All right. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, what did it say we should be doing and should not be doing? We should not follow or should not serve sin. Folks, let me tell you something. For 23 years, I was lost. You know what I was a servant of? Sin. Man, I'm telling you, Brother Mayfield, you know what? He didn't treat me as... That master wasn't good to me. And if I was still serving him today, he'd have me under a bridge somewhere. He'd have me walking the street somewhere. He'd have everything blown totally out of proportion. You see, sin's a bad master. And I served it long enough. Scoot up to verse number 4. You see, we should not serve sin. It brings me into bondage. I don't like to be in captivity, do y'all? I'm just one of those guys, I'm hyper enough. When I was young, my oldest brother used to try to pin me down on the floor and either tie my hands down or pin me on the floor and take his knees and pin my hands behind my head. Now, I'm going to tell you the things that he did and to me while I was pinned down. But if you got boys, you can imagine what they do. But I didn't like to be pinned down. So you know what I would do? I would kick, scratch, bite. You say, man, you shouldn't be biting. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. When it's fisticuffs time, it's all fair, brother. Everything's fair. I've never gotten a fight and somebody hit me in the head and say, man, hey, don't do that. That's not fair. I've never seen a boxing match where a guy said, wait, time out. He hit me in the mouth. That's not fair. But may I say to you, in spiritual warfare to Satan, it's all fair. And you're fair. And your marriage is fair. Your children are fair to him. Everything to him is fair game. Everything. So all I'm saying to you this morning is he said this, therefore we are buried, verse number 4, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, it didn't say everybody was going to walk in newness of life, but it said that's what we should do, right? There's a necessity of doing that because that's where the joy of the Christian life lies. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine what a church would be if everybody walked according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. You know, I think that was one of the key ingredients to the church in Jerusalem at Pentecost, because they were one heart, one soul, one mind. You know what they were? They were focused. You know what they were focused on? They were focused on His steps. They were locked in on His steps. Boy, you look at that crowd at Pentecost, that group. We're not given the name of all the 120, but you think all of them in that room 3 months before, 6 months before, you think all of them ever dreamed that they would be in that situation? That they would ever experience the moving of the Holy Ghost of God like they've never experienced in their life? Never even dreamed until they decided to follow His steps. You know, when Jesus taught many, many disciples. You know what He taught them on? Go back and read His Sermon on the Mount. Go back and read the times that He would teach large groups of people. You know what, basically, in a nutshell, what He was teaching them to do? Follow My steps. That's what He was teaching them to do. Follow in My steps. Because you can't go wrong when you follow in Jesus' steps. Now we find in Scriptures that sometimes as the teaching got harder and the steps got a little bit more unclear to them and they got a little more fearful, you know the Bible said some walked with Him no more. They chose not. So, now, should they have walked in newness of life? Yes. Did all of them walk in newness of life? No, they didn't. Boy, I'm telling you, that church at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, something was going in the right direction for them. And I believe they were walking in His steps. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. All right, 2 Corinthians 13. Let's take a look at something else that we should be doing as Christians. 2 Corinthians 13 in verse number 7. Everybody find your place. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 7. The Scripture says, "Now I pray to God," Paul says, "that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest." He says, "though we be as reprobates." Now folks, I hope you understand what Paul's saying. He said, listen, if I go off the deep end, if I go off and go nuts somewhere, you be honest. You be right with God. You stay honest to the Word. You stay honest to the Scriptures. Boy, I'm telling you, folks, you're talking about a character trait that is being swept under the rug and not taught much in our school systems today, in our homes today, and that's the character trait of honesty. Honesty. Be honest. We should be honest. Isn't it amazing how that all of us in this room at some time in our Christian life have been guilty of relative thinking? Oh, man, you know what? I'll tell the truth as long as everything turns out well. Now, if I see things aren't going to turn out well, then I'll fudge a little bit. Because, by the way, God understands, doesn't He? Doesn't God understand that if I fudge a little bit, He understands because I didn't want things to get out of hand? God doesn't understand that. You know what He wants us to do? Because you know where His steps are leading? His steps are leading to honesty. His steps are leading to truth. His steps are leading down a path that if we'll follow them, that's where the end, we'll find the end. He says we should do that which is honest. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 2, if you would. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. Ephesians 2 and verse number 10. All right, Paul again says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what kind of works?" Does your King James Bible say good? Now, my King James Bible says that we're created unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we, who's we? That's believers. That's us. He says that we, what's the next word? Should There's a necessity in this. We should walk in them, referring back to good works. We should be doing good. You say, give me a list of good works. Man, that'd take us the rest of the hour. But your Bible is full of instructions about good works. And you know, one of the good works that we should be doing here in the church is not just going out and getting people saved, though that's an important work. Let me tell you something, folks. You know that our job and good works not only take place externally outside the church, but they're supposed to be taking place internally in the church as well. Do you know that, hey, I'm for going out and doing good works and reaching people for Christ, aren't you? But I'm also for good works in the church as well. I'm also for seeking out a brother that has a need in his life that needs to be encouraged and say, hey, brother, come on, let me pray with you down here at the altar. People that are going through heartaches and trials and tribulations in their life beyond what you can even imagine. I cannot tell you how many times that I've been on my knees in prayer and God laid somebody on my heart and I either emailed them or called them. And they told me, said, Brother Todd, I have no idea how you knew to call at that specific time or write at that specific time. Hey, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Somebody needed a word of encouragement. And you know, there's a work to be done inside the church as well as outside the church. Listen, folks, we live in an evil day. And everybody in this church, when we leave this morning, we're going to go out into an evil world. And that world could care less about you, your home, your life, your job, or your well-being. Because who's operating the world out there? The Scripture says there's a prince of the power of the air. And he's operating even as we speak today. Now, you know what we should be doing? We should be walking in good works. Not just outside the church, but inside the church as well. Go to 1 John chapter 3 if you would. Okay, we've got time for about two more. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 11. All right, 1 John chapter 3 verse 11. Here's what the Scripture says. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. He said it's always been this way. There's never been a time where this message has not been prevalent. He says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we believers should love one another. Look around. Just look around. Do you know there are so many different people here today with different temperaments and different personalities? Some are hardcore, some are shy, some are happy. And you got a church full of so many different people, and yet we're told that we should love one another? May I say to you, he's not asking me to do it for my sake. He's asking me and telling me to do it for others' sake. Hey, I'm just a believer, folks, that believes that the law of sowing and reaping is real. Because let me tell you something, there's going to be a day in your life that you're going to need to be loved. There's going to be a day in your life when you go through some of the darkest hours of your life when you think, I don't even know if God loves me right now. Yet God will extend through other people a love for you and something of a word of encouragement for you. And you know, this is a work that we should be doing inside the church. He says that we're to love one another. Now, I've had people tell me, say, Brother Todd, you know, loving is hard for me. Well, you know what? Then here's what you need to do. You say, I just was raised up in a home and stuff to where love was just not a prevalent thing and an attribute in our family. And so I have a hard time loving. All right, let me tell you what you do then. If you have a hard time loving, you don't have a hard time getting on your knees and getting to the throne of grace where you find all the love you're going to need. You'll find everything that you're going to need. You know why? Because when you go to the throne of grace, because there you will begin, the Spirit of God will put you on a track. He said, you see these tracks right here? He said, you follow these tracks and these steps, and you know what they're going to lead you to? They're going to lead you to more love than you can ever, possibly in a lifetime, give out. I'm just telling you. That's what we should be doing. Let me give you one more. Okay? Jude, verse chapter 1. Okay? Go to Jude 1. And the only one. And verse 3. You'll be familiar to you. Here Jude says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You know, that, Brother Jackson, that's what we should be doing, right? I mean, we should be contending for the faith. You know, I like the preacher's attitude. You know what? I just decided that's what I'm going to do too. I just decided, you know what? When I go and somebody tries to tell me happy holidays, no, it's Merry Christmas. He said, well, that might get somebody upset. I don't care. So at some point, I've got to contend for the faith. At some point, I've got to decide whose side am I on. Hey, if I'm going to follow in His steps, then there's some things I should be doing, and one of them is contending for the faith. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand up for the Word of God. I'm going to stand up for the King James Bible. I'm going to stand up for what's right, what's wrong, and if somebody says, hey, listen, I don't believe it that way, I don't see it that way, then that's fine. You go do what you... I'm going to stick with what I believe. I've just decided I've set my morals, I've set my guidelines, I know what the steps are, I'm sticking with them. That's just the direction I'm going to go. Because I found out if I'll stay following those steps, you know what those steps will lead me to? It'll lead me to the one who made them. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, bless our time, the service to follow. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us from the Word of God the things that we should be doing. And when we leave here this morning, may we take a hold of some of these things and begin to really work in practicing them, both externally and internally. And we'll thank you for your goodness. Bless the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.